Morning, everybody. So glad to be gathering with you all today. What a blessing it is to be able to worship our Lord this morning with everybody. My name is Patrick Bicknell. I am the location pastor here in Walled Lake. I want to say, so thankful you are with us. But I do want to reiterate what the video announcement said first. Camp was amazing. I love the kids coming back and saying they had a great time. All the baptisms we saw. I mean, some 30 kids across 2 weeks got baptized, gave their life to the Lord. Just what a blessing it is. But one thing we really do want to do here at the church is we want to connect with you. So whether you're new here or you've been coming for a while and you haven't quite got connected yet, please text River Church, one word, to 97,000. When you text that, it'll go straight to me. I promise I won't bug you too much, but I'll be able to get to know you a little bit, set up a time to meet, and just help you out to get connected here, whether it's serving in an area where we do need a lot of help in with nursery and baby pantry and guest services, or maybe it's just getting to know someone and getting prayer requests given, whatever it may be, we really want to connect with you. So I just wanted to reiterate that this morning so you guys knew that. But when I was in middle school, one of the few classes I remember that for some reason really stuck in my life was I had a speech class. And I remember going through and choosing my classes in middle school. I thought, what's going to be the easiest class I can take? And I was like, speech, check, knock it off. I like to talk. Maybe that's going to be good. And I remember one of the assignments for that class was I had to memorize a famous speech in history. And so I said a few weeks ago, if you remember, that I am a really big World War II history person. I love learning about it. I love reading about it, movies, everything about it. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to choose one of the best speeches ever during that time. And it was FDR's speech to Congress, which started December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. Pearl Harbor, 2,400 Americans died in one attack. And at the time, up until 9/11, it was the worst attack on U.S. soil that the country has ever seen. So after this terrible attack, FDR stands up before Congress and declares the very next day that we are at war with the Empire of Japan. There was a decisive event that took place on December 7th, and our country could no longer be the same after that. After that attack happened, everything about our country was about to change. Our entire country was about to rally around the one singular cause, which was to win the war. And today, this morning, we're going to be talking about something similar as we continue in our study of Romans chapter 7. It is the idea that we, if we are believers in Christ, if we're following the Lord, we are engaged in a war. We are engaged in a conflict. From the moment that we are justified by Christ, where we look to Jesus and put our faith in him and believe in him for our entire salvation, our lives are completely changed. We are now enlisted in this fight. And we need to know what we are fighting and how to fight it if we have any hope to overcome sin in our life. So let's pray, and then we'll dive into the word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And I thank you so much for this opportunity to preach the word. Lord, we pray this morning that your spirit will be moving through me, that it would be your words, your thoughts, that you would penetrate hearts of everyone who is here and everyone who is listening. Please lead us, Lord, to worship you this morning and to praise you as our glorious God. So we love you, and we pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen. So if you got your Bibles, feel free to go to Romans chapter 7. Want to encourage you to bring a Bible. It's always so good to be in the Word. If you need one, we have some at our guest services desk. But we're going to be in Romans chapter 7. And as a church as a whole, all our nine locations, we are going through the book of Romans. And last week we talked about how we are dead to the law and we're now living under grace. And that it's not the law or the commandments that God gives us that are sinful, but rather it is us that is sinful. And Paul here is continuing his argument in verse 15 of Romans chapter 7, and it'll be on the screen if you want to follow. But picking up in verse 15, Paul says this: "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." So at this point in Romans, Paul is starting to almost take a slight detour. So I had mentioned last week, as you go through Romans, he starts off by teaching on sin, what it is, and how it affects all of humanity. And then he teaches how we are justified in Jesus Christ alone. And now we are moving into this topic of sanctification, of our walk with the Lord. And Paul here, though, in verses 15 through 20, takes a slight detour, and it's almost as if he wants to share with us a struggle that every follower of Christ is going to have. A struggle that even an apostle, someone who writes Holy Scripture, also struggles with. And it's the struggle that between that which we will to do, right, that which we desire to do, and that which sometimes we actually end up doing. Right, the good that we want to do, how we want to follow God, but then sometimes how that sin overcomes us and the sin that we actually do. So as I said, Paul here is describing in these few chapters in Romans 6 and 7 the process of sanctification. Now sanctification, all that means is a progressive work of God and believers that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual life. So whereas justification is this singular, decisive event, where justification is when we look to Jesus, we see him as our Lord who was killed for us, buried for us, and rose again. When we put our faith in him at that moment, we are declared innocent in the eyes of God. It is a singular event that happens, and it's good once for all. We are always justified before God. Sanctification, then, is that process that flows out of it. Sanctification is a continual, ongoing work within the life of the believer. So to go back to that illustration of World War II and Pearl Harbor, the decisive event that happened in 1941 was the act of Japan attacking Pearl Harbor. That then changed everything for our country and then put us into war. In the same way for us, when we have been justified, when you have surrendered your life to Jesus, seeing your sin, feeling the weight of your sin, and saying, "Jesus, I need you to make me innocent." When we have done that, everything then changes for us. And we are now engaged in this fight. This progressive work of sanctification begins in our life. Now, I wish I could say that when that sanctification happens, right, when you're saved in Jesus, that the process throughout our rest of our life is so easy, and becoming more like Christ is never an issue, and sin never, never gives us a struggle again. If you've been a Christian here for longer than 10 minutes, you can testify that is not the case. It's a struggle. It's a struggle that we all go through. And that's what Paul is sharing, and that's why in verse 14 he shares why we have this constant battle. Why he says we are at war within ourselves. So in verse 14, he says, "But I am of the flesh, sold under sin." Now this is where we need to make a few things clear about the reality that it is for us as justified believers, as sons and daughters of God, as people who have been saved. There is a reality that we have while we still live in this world. Because some can take that statement of Paul saying, I am of the flesh, and saying, wait a minute, how can Paul say that? Because Romans has been clear, we are no longer of the flesh. We're no longer identified with that. We are of grace, right? We have been given a new life. We are new creatures in Jesus. How can Paul say that he is of the flesh? Now, that's because Paul is not saying that he is living actively in the flesh in the old manner of life he used to live, but rather sometimes he acts fleshly. Sometimes the flesh within him wins the battle. And it's because as believers, even though we are saved, we still have the flesh living inside of us. And I think this principle is shown in 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, you can follow along on the screen with me. This principle, I think, is made clear in these few verses. He writes, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? So here in these few verses, we see Paul calls the Corinthian church, the Corinthian believers, brothers. He says, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, you are of Christ, albeit infants, right? He shares, you're still young in your faith journey. But he says, you are in Christ. And he says, you are acting in the flesh. You are acting as if you still have the flesh within you, with jealousy and with strife. These are the ways our old self used to live. These are examples and characteristics of the flesh. And so, yes, it's still within us, but he's telling them, put those things away. Live in your new identity. Live as if you are of Christ. And so he acknowledges that this flesh is still within us. This flesh is still the reason why we struggle with sin. We need to put away the old man and live in the new manner of life. He also, though, with saying this, he doesn't push off the blame. So when he says here in these verses, it's not as if he's being forced to sin against his will. Right? He's not saying this flesh within me, that's the only reason I sin. That's the only reason I have struggle. I'm a new man, but that flesh, we're going to blame it on that person. No, he's still taking the responsibility. And we need to guard against that belief, church. We need to make sure that we're not just blaming something else and saying we're free of the responsibility. Because it can be so easy for us when we make a mistake. And I'm sure within your marriages, sometimes you want to push the blame off somewhere else, right? It's easy to say, well, it's just a flesh. But that's not what we can do. So continuing on in Romans chapter 7, verse 21, he says, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. So Paul here is using very strong language, and he gives us the explanation why sometimes people do the things we don't want to do. He's using very strong language here. He's saying, we are at war. There are two laws within us that are waging war against ourselves. There's a reason why he does that. And he says it is a law of sorts. It is a universal truth, if you will, that all people experience. That as the desire to do good rises within you, right? As you are following Jesus, there's this desire to follow God and to serve and to love him rises within you, evil lurks all the more closer. Have you ever experienced that before? Has that ever happened to you before? That is, you are trying to follow the Lord, right? You're trying to kill sin. Evil and the flesh and temptations cling all the more closer. That as you serve more, as you pray more, read your Bible more, those temptations come. And the flesh tries to attack you, and the harder the fight seems. I think pastors are a really big example of this. We've seen so many pastors in this world who have fallen to sexual sin. And I've heard it said that the time when the temptation is the strongest for the pastor is Sunday night after he's given a sermon. I remember the first time that I preached, the lead pastor of the River Church here, Josh Combs, he sent me an email and he said, guard yourself tonight. He said, you did a great thing today. You served and followed the Lord, but guard yourself. Because as that desire to do good rises, the evil lurks all the more closer. It happens to all of us as we are engaged in this fight. And I think there are two things that are vitally important as we talk about this war that we are engaged in. Two things that we need to make sure we are aware of to be able to fight this fight. And the first is this, that we need to know who we are fighting against. Right, if we're going to say we are at war, we need to know what our war is waged against. So Galatians 5:17, I think, gives us a really good view into this fight, who we are fighting against. Galatians 5:17, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. This verse makes it clear who we are fighting against, who this war within us is against. This is the enemy that is living inside of us. This is who we are fighting against. And we're not just talking about Satan and his dominions. We're not talking about the unbelieving world here, right? Those are different conversations for another day. Right now, we are talking about how we are our own worst enemy. In our walk with the Lord, the thing that poses the most threat against us is our own flesh. It's our internal struggle and fight with the sin that is within ourselves. And Romans 7 says, it is the law of sin and the law of the mind. The law that within yourself, there's this flesh that we're born with that desires for the sin, but against the new man that wants to follow God. This war that we fight against is against the old self within you. Galatians 5 goes on to list the things of the old self, to list the things that we fight against. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. These are the things of our flesh that are waging war within us. That the old self, that what we used to engage in, what we used to do in our life, these are the things that are at war against us to keep us from following God. This is what we are at war against. Yes, we have been justified, right? If you have put your faith in Jesus, rest assured, you are justified in the eyes of God. You will stand before God innocent one day. But while we are in this world, we still have the flesh within us and its desires trying to rule our life. And so you need to be aware of what your struggles are. You need to be aware of what you're drawn towards, what your pitfalls might be, what your temptations might be. Right? For Paul to say that there's a war waging, a war going on within himself, it means he has an awareness of what his flesh is drawn towards. Are you aware of that? Are you aware in your own life what your struggles might be? Because if we just stick our head in the sand and go, you know what, I'm saved, I'll be fine. Right? I don't really need to worry about sin. I don't need to take it seriously. I'll be good. If that's the attitude we have towards the sin within us, we're never going to be able to overcome that sin. And I get it. It's hard for some of you to admit that you have these struggles. It's hard for some of you to admit you're wrong. It's hard for some of you to say, I have a struggle in this area. I'm just going to raise my hand and say, I'm some of you. That's me. Especially as someone who thinks he's always right. It's hard to admit the struggles that I have, to be vulnerable, to acknowledge, you know what? If I allow myself to go to this place, to think these thoughts, that I don't have it all together, I'm going to fall into that sin. It's hard to admit that, but it's necessary. It's necessary if we're going to engage in this war and fight against our flesh. We need to be open. We need to be self-aware enough. And if you're not, find someone around you. If you got a spouse, they'll let you know what your struggle is. They know you better than anyone else. Ask them. It's necessary. You need to know what you are fighting against. But the second thing that I think is vitally important as we talk about this topic, and it's that we need to go to war. We need to be killing the desires of the flesh. If we're going to say that we're having this war within us, if Paul is going to use this strong language, then we need to take it as seriously as he does. Because he's not just saying we're at war for no reason. He's not just saying it to sound good. He's trying to get us to see how important this fight is as believers in Christ. And if he says that we are at war, we need to take it seriously. There is no time to waste as a follower of Christ. It makes me think about this, another story. Of course, it's World War II. This whole theme with war, I got to stay with it. But it makes me think about this story that when the war first started, the English government, they needed to figure out a way to transport as many men as they could to the battlefield. Their ships weren't big enough. Airplane travel wasn't as prominent as it was. And so the government decided that they would take a ship called the Queen Mary and use it to transport their soldiers. Now, the Queen Mary was a cruise ship at the time. Very elegant, fancy. Right? All the rich people would go on it for nice trips. So as you can imagine, it wasn't exactly ready for war. But they knew the ship was big enough, and we had to use it. Do you think when they decided to use this ship for war, that they kept it exactly the same? Of course not. When it was decided that this ship was going to be a part of the war effort, everything had to change. A ship that used to seat 3,000 people was now to travel 15,000 soldiers. So all of the rich things, all of the elegant things, they needed to throw it out and use all the space they could to transport as many men as possible. And you can even go and look at the museum today. On one side, it's this elegant, rich dining hall, super nice. And on the other side is bunks stacked 8 tiers high, filling up all the space and using it for the war effort. Because they knew if they were going to win this war and going to defeat the enemy, things had to change. And the same is true for us. If we are going to say we are engaged in this war, if we're going to say we're followers of Christ and we want to overcome this sin, then we need to change the way that we used to live. Things within our life have got to be different. We need to be actively killing the sin and the flesh within ourselves, or else the flesh is going to be actively killing us. If you aren't actively putting to death the things of sin within your life, believe me, sin is going to be fighting hard to be actively killing you. And if you've been through that season in your life, maybe you're going through it right now. As we aren't fighting against sin, as we become lazy with sin, what's it do? It kills us. Not always physically, but spiritually. Steals your joy. Steals the joy that you once had of knowing your salvation in Christ. It steals away your peace. Anxiety rises. Depression rises. It hurts your relationship with God and with others. If you're not actively killing the sin, it's actively killing you and causing us to feel as if we're not growing at all. I think Colossians 3 puts it in such a good way. Colossians 3, verses 5 through 7. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. Listen to the seriousness of this verse. This is how we should be going to war against the sin of our life. Put to death what is earthly and fleshly in you. Put to death that which Christ freed you from. Put to death that which kept you captive. Put to death the things that put Jesus Christ on the cross. Put to death the sin in your life. Be serious about the war that you are engaged in. If you're a follower of Christ and you said, I believe in Jesus, we no longer have time to waste. We need to be made more like Christ. This sin wants to kill us, wants to steal our joy, steal our peace. We need to put it to death. Is there a sin you need to confess? Do you need to go to a brother and sister in Christ and have an accountability partner and say, I need help with this? Who cares what anyone thinks? Right? What did Jesus say? If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter into heaven with one hand than into hell with both. Be that serious about your sin because it will destroy you. We can be that help to one another. We can be that help to each other to put to death the things of our body and the flesh. That's what we should be as the church, and that's why it's so important to get connected. That's why in the fall we'll have growth communities. That's why we want you to serve if you're a part of this church, so that you can have other believers around you to help you in this fight, to be an encouragement to you, to be an accountability partner to you, whatever it is. We need to be serious about putting to death the things of the flesh. If that means throwing the phone away, throw it away. If it causes you to sin, if it tempts you, get rid of it. We no longer want to be people that get as close to sin as we can without sinning. We need to be people that want to do all that we can to glorify God. How far from sin can I get? The things of the flesh and the things of sin is what kept me captive. It's what ruined my life. It's what steals my joy. It's what hurts my relationship with others. We need to be this serious about it. We need to go to war and kill these things. If we're not this serious about it, either we're going to kill our sin, or sin is going to seek to kill us. Verse 24, Romans 7. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now this is where we get to the conundrum of the Christian walk. Because yes, we need to be serious about engaging in this war. We need to get people around us to help us. We got to actively kill sin. We got to do all that we can. But we're still humans. You could be fighting as hard as you possibly can. There are going to be times in your life when you fall, when that sin wins the battle. And naturally, it's going to leave you feeling just like this verse. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And the truth is, the more we become sanctified, the more we draw closer to God, the deeper the sense of awareness within ourselves of truly how unworthy we are when we fail. The closer we get to God, the more that we'll see, I'm still so much far away from Him. And in those moments, it will lead us to think, how will I be delivered from this fight? I was thinking again about that analogy of the war, and I promise this is my last one, and I probably won't use any more war analogies until next year. But when that war was first declared, the sentiment in the United States was, we were going to win. You know who else thought they were going to win? Japan. When England went to war with Germany, they thought they were going to win. So did Germany. There was no one at the time who actually knew what was going to happen. Right? In hindsight, we know who won the war, but at the time, only time was going to tell who the victor would be. There was confidence. There was plans. People thought they were going to win, but no one actually knew. The same is not true for us. The same is not true for the war that we are engaged in. Because look at verse 25, Romans 7. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our response to wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body? Thanks be to Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. We may lose battles in our life. Correction, you're going to lose battles in your life. There's going to be times when you lose to sin, when that temptation overcomes, and it's going to leave you feeling like a wretched person. How am I going to be delivered from this? But Christian, have hope. The war is already won. As we engage in this fight, the balance isn't in the scales. We don't need to wonder who's going to win. It's already won in Jesus Christ. We can have that hope living right now. We can have the hope that Jesus Christ will get us the victory. Because in His finished work on the cross, the dominion of sin has been defeated. The power that sin once had over you is crushed. Satan is defeated. Yes, we still have to go through this sanctification process in our earthly life. We still go through this continual work to be made more like Christ. But it's not going through this war not knowing how the end is. The end is determined. One day, if you believe in Jesus Christ with full faith, if you surrender your life to Him, and if you're in here and you have not done that yet, it's there for you. Jesus died so that you can have forgiveness of your sins. Jesus died so that you can, all you got to do is look to Him. You don't need to be better. You don't need to be made more perfect. You don't got to go to church more, get baptized. The only thing you got to do is look to Jesus in full faith and say, I need you. If you do that, you are saved. And one day, if you make that decision, you will stand before God and you will have victory over the sin in your life. Because Jesus has accomplished it. So I want to encourage you with this verse. Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. as sure as rain falls down and fire burns upwards, so can we be assured that the sanctifying work within us will be brought to completion. Yes, we still need to fight. And again, don't neglect the help that the church can be to you. Please don't go through this fight on your own. Don't come in and week out trying to fight this by yourself, sitting in these chairs and never talking to someone. Please get connected here. Find a group. Start serving. Find people that can be an encouragement to you. That's what we should be as the church. Pray for each other. Talk to each other. You can't fight this alone. But I want to finish with this song. And my sweet bride gave it to me. I was running her through my sermon. She's like, dude, this song would be perfect. I'm like adding it. So I had to give her the credit. And don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. I won't make your ears bleed. I don't got that voice. But it's a song we've been listening to recently, and I love it. There's a verse in the song. It's called "It Is Finished" by Sovereign Grace Music. And it goes, "I'll look into eternity when sorrow's seas have dried. I'll see the Lamb who died for me in beauty glorified. With open arms, you'll bring me home to bow and worship at your throne. And you'll say, come and rest. As my heart bears witness, it is finished." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And I just want to thank you this morning that although there is this war going on within us, the war of our former self, of sin and flesh, against the war of our new self, which is trying to follow you, although we're going to be engaged in this fight until we see you in glory, and at times we may feel as if we're losing and we're losing and we're losing, I thank you that the war is already won. That in Jesus Christ, we can have hope to know that the sin that plagues us, the sin that weighs us down, the sin that wants to destroy our life, it has already been defeated. And Lord, I pray right now that if there's anyone in here who has not made that decision to follow you, I pray that through your Spirit, the conviction of sin would enter their life. And that they would see their deep need for you as Lord and Savior. And I also pray for those who are yours, that you would strengthen us, encourage us to fight this fight. Lord, help us as a church to rally around each other, to encourage one another in this fight, and to glorify you. So God, we love you. We pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Let us stand and praise the Lord together.